Let's pray together today. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray with me out loud. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for what you have for me today in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We just ask you, Lord, to speak to us, minister to us right where we are. Lord, we just thank you that as we get into the word today, as we talk about the things we're going to continue to talk about, Lord, I just thank you that you speak to each one of us right where we're at. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we talk about that you are the God of second chances, Lord, we just thank you that you show us more and more how important it is that we recognize and understand that you have a plan for our lives no matter what's gone on, no matter what has happened. And Lord, we just give you praise and we give you thanks today for your word. I ask you, Lord, use me to speak these things today in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. If you didn't get a handout, today I want to share the whole message that I tried to share last Sunday. And I'm going to repeat some things again because we didn't have a good audio on the video, and that's why we took it down. We didn't post it. And I thought today I would go back through it again because I think I had a lot of response from last Sunday. Did y'all enjoy the ice cream? During church? That was great. Y'all weren't here last Sunday, so you don't get none today. Amen. But it worked out. You know, we had a lot going on last Sunday. But I think it's good to share some of these things because I think it's helpful. I mean, all of us have gone through things, haven't we? Yeah. I had a lot of people. Ron and Renee came up to me at when we went where we were eating at. And they came up and said, hey. And she talked to me, you need to talk about that more. So as you're encouraged, I had text, I had emails, I heard from so many different people. And I want to share it again, and I want to give you more details, and I want to do the whole message that I did not get to do. I only gave you like one scripture, really, and I didn't even get into the points that I have. But I think it's good that we talk about this, okay? So anyway, next Sunday, you don't want to miss church. You're going to want to have your cell phones out. You're going to want to make a movie because next Sunday is going to be the wildest thing you've ever seen. You need to make sure you're at church because we're going to talk about that we were born to raise hell. Amen. Come on. Come on. R-A-Z-E means to level, to annihilate, to bring to rubble. And that's what we're going to talk about next Sunday. We're going to talk about boldness. You need to be bold about the things of God. Amen. Amen. So make sure you're here. You better bring somebody with you. This is going to, woo, we're going to hair lip hell. Amen. I said, don't you think the devil will hear you? I'm saying it for his benefit. Yeah. Amen. They talk smack at sport events. Well, the devil needs to understand I got his number. Amen. Do you got his number? It ain't BR549 either. You have authority over that bad boy. And make sure you're here next Sunday. We're going to have a good time. All right? Amen. Praise God. All right, today let's get into this. And I want to share the whole thing today. I think it'll be good. How many of you know God is the God of the?
Second chance.
Everybody say it. My God is the God of the?
Second chance.
Come on now. He is the God of the second chance. You know, I just throw this out to you. Have you been divorced? Be bold about it. Amen. You've been through stuff. How many of you got the joy of being remarried? Amen. Best thing ever happened to me right here. Amen. And I just want to share a little more that I didn't share last week. And I think this will be good. God's a God of the second chance. Amen. And you need to know that. He loves you. You haven't done anything so bad that he can't bring you back. You haven't done anything so awful that he cannot heal and make better. Because he's the God of the second chance. Amen. You know, the Bible says this in John 8:32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what?
Make you free.
Man, I'm so thankful that the truth made me free. And you need to realize, I don't care where you've been, he's made you free. And he wants you to be happy. Did you know that? God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. I mean, like you were just drinking an orange all the time, just licking an orange. You're just happy. You got your favorite ice cream in your hand. You got ice cream dripping all over your clothes, and you're just happy. He wants you that happy. He wants you to know that life is good, and he's a good God, and he loves you, and he wants you blessed. Amen. So I just want to share some more about this. You know, I told you all last week, and I showed some pictures. You know, I went to Estonia. This was the second trip I ever did to Estonia. We were trying to guess when I went the last time, probably 20 years ago. We had an incredible healing service at their Barry has an international church in Tallinn, and it's filled with Russians, Nigerians, Americans. There's a lot of American service people that go to that church now. And we have a lot of people who are with NATO, and I can't tell you everything they do, but there's some important people in Tallinn, and they're doing great things, and it's a good thing. But Barry kind of oversees apartments for U.S. military people that come in to work with NATO forces and with the Estonian military. And Barry's, Estonia's changed so much. When I first went, Russia had pulled out, and the place looked like the Wendy's commercial from the 80s, swim there. You know, everybody's in gray, looks sad, depressed. But going back after 20 years possibly now, there's McDonald's everywhere, there's Kentucky Fried Chicken, there's anything you can think of, it's there. Malls, multi-level malls with any kind of store you can imagine. A lot of stores that we don't even have here in the States. But super nice places, Louis Vuitton and all sorts of things. Just incredible what freedom can do for a nation. And it's just an amazing thing. Of course, where we were at, where I was staying at, I was about, I think about 30, 40 minutes, we could have gone to St. Petersburg. That's how close to Russia we were. And but Tallinn's a beautiful, beautiful place. This is the old town, the old city. The cobblestones, all the old buildings. Some of those buildings date back to 14 and something. The Church of the Holy Spirit dates back to before that. There's whole families that they bury inside the churches underneath the family pews because the families have been attending those churches for generations. And it's an amazing thing. The church building you see here on the left is the Russian Orthodox Church. You can't take pictures inside, but I'm going to tell you, it's the most elaborate, most beautiful. We went to a lot of places in Belgium and in France when we were there, but I tell you, this one tops them all. It's incredible, the beauty, and it's an old, old building. Most of the places in the old city look like this, and lots of little shops. Anybody been to Gatlinburg before? Yeah, well, it's like that, but like magnified 10 times. It's just a lot of stores, a lot of shops, a lot of bakeries, a lot of pastries and things, and it's just really beautiful. The modern Tallinn is filled, that building right behind there with the people's faces on it, that's a huge mall, multi-level. Tallinn's filled with all sorts of colleges now. People preaching the word, teaching the Bible, Bible schools all over the place. Wasn't like that before. And again, freedom is an incredible thing. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And this is looking out at the top of the old town, looking across all the red roofed buildings in the old city. That tower right here is the Church of the Holy Spirit, and been around forever and ever and ever. All sorts of cruise ships come to Tallinn now. It's a big port stop for most of Viking, Princess, you name it, the cruise lines, Carnival, they come here. And it's incredible. If you ever get to go, it's a beautiful city. It's a great place to see. Amen. But the reason I went was because of these two. Barry Mitchell has been my friend since I was with Fire by Night. I met Barry when he was 17 or 18 years old at Longmont Church in Colorado. And Longmont's a place where Brother Hagin used to always go back in the 50s and the 60s. Tremendous move of God at that church. And a lot of well-known ministers have come out of the church in Longmont, Colorado. Barry was one of them. Barry got married, and he and his wife pioneered a Damata school in Estonia. But they wound up about 10 years ago, I guess. Yeah, something like that. They ended up splitting up and getting a divorce. Barry didn't want to leave Estonia, and his church did not want him to leave. They begged for him to stay. He was going to step down. And he called me up on the phone several years ago, and I told him, I said, Barry, if you quit, you'll live with regret the rest of your life. And I asked him, I said, do you remember when God called you to do this job? He said, yeah. I go, he's not finished with you. He's got a plan for you. And he started doing about what if this, what if that. And I told him the story I shared with you last Sunday about Brother Hagin when he went to this church in Texas doing a revival for 2 weeks. And the pastor of this church, his daughter, was married to this man who beat her up, who was a drunk. And they had a baby together. And he left her. They wound up getting divorced. And the dad was so distraught because his daughter was miserable, heartbroken, just couldn't feel like she could make it. And that little girl, all she knew as a dad at that point, at her age, was her grandfather, and she would at times call him daddy. It was hard. And when Brother Hagin came to that church and preached for the two-week revival, about midway through the first week, the pastor, as they were eating dinner at the parsonage, he said, Brother Hagin, I need to ask you about something. And he asked him about his little girl. He said, my little girl's found this young man whom she's in love with, and he loves my granddaughter so much. And this man makes her happy, but I know if I marry her, I'll lose my papers. I'll get kicked out of the denomination. I'm concerned about what my board members are going to think. I'm concerned about what everybody's going to say in the town. It's a small Texas town. And Brother Hagin sat back for a minute and he looked at him. He says, well, let me just tell you something. What would love do for that little baby? What would love do for your little girl? For your granddaughter? Jesus loved you so much, he died for you. What would love do for your family? And that pastor broke down, bawling like a baby. He said, Jesus would want my daughter to have a husband. Jesus would want my grandbaby to have a daddy. And Brother Hagin looked at him and says, well, you read the scriptures in Corinthians. You read all the things about love, and you weigh it out, but I guarantee you, this church will support you 100% if you be bold and stand up. So they announced an engagement. The whole town turned out. Everybody in the church wept like babies. They were so excited. And they all hugged their pastor and said, thank you. Thank you so much for being so bold. He didn't lose his papers. In fact, their church grew. And this young couple, I didn't finish this part of the story, they own half that town now. You know, God can take what's broken and turn it around. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. How many of you know He forgives? Amen. He forgives. Oh, wasn't her fault all that happened. You know what happened with Barry and his other wife? It really wasn't anything. They just quit. And things just didn't work. Didn't want to be an Estonian anymore. But Barry had a call in his life, so he got quiet. He lost 100% of his support. other than what we could do when we could for him. Think about that. And when he called me after I told him to stay, later down the road, he told me about Evelyn here. And Evelyn actually graduated from his Bible school that he and his wife founded and were the ministers at that school. Evelyn graduated and did all sorts of ministry work in Tallinn and around all of Estonia. She ended up marrying a Russian man who beat her, who emotionally broke her down, who would leave and go on drinking binges, never wasn't living for the Lord. They had four kids together. And when Barry called me, he says, James, I got a girl and I want to marry her. What do you think I should do? And I told him that story that Brother Hagin told. I said, well, what would love do? He goes, well, love wants her happy and safe. Love wants her to know that there's a man that cares about her, that loves her, that wants her to walk in freedom and happiness. Don't they look happy? This is after we walked in the old town. We went to this coffee shop, the best cappuccino I've had in my life. It was so good. But we talked for a while. Evelyn just cried like a baby. I was talking to her about the things of God and about, you know, your church. You need a first lady. Evelyn, you're going to be the first lady of that church. And I flew to Estonia to marry them. That's why I was there. And we did the service. It was beautiful. Tears were shed. But I'll tell you what got me was the same thing that happened to that pastor in Texas. All the older people, the young people, women, old men, young men, they were all had their hankies out, people blowing their noses and crying as they said their vows. And the two became one. It was a beautiful thing. Sunday morning, I looked at them all before service started. I said, you guys now have a first lady. And the whole place erupted in cheers. And, you know, God's got a plan for your life no matter what you've been through. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
He's got a plan for your life. It was an honor to go do this. I never felt the Holy Ghost move in such a, I don't know how else to say it. It was like a warm, heavy towel was laid across the whole church. And it felt so good. And it was sweet. And you know, just like Brother Hagin told that pastor, Evelyn had these kids, and Barry has an instant family. The day before I left, Barry had Stefan there on his lap, and we were driving through Estonia, and he was letting him drive the car. And I've never seen anybody smile from ear to ear. Yeah, it was illegal, but Barry was having the time of his life. He was a daddy. And those kids, they love him. He has fun with them. They never had that before. They never had a dad that was there for them. You know, God can take something that's broken and fix it. Are you hearing me today? Amen. Amen. You know, and I share with you my story. You know, I knew somebody back when... I've always told bits and pieces. I talked to you all about growing marijuana plants in my bedroom window when I was young. And then I talked about, you know, about a bad time I had in my life, but I never told you what the bad time was. And I shared that last Sunday, and I'm going to share it again. My mom and another lady, they had Tim LaHaye's book. Some of y'all are old enough to know Tim LaHaye's Spirit-Controlled Temperament book. Anybody remember that? You know, all the four different personalities and the blendings and all that. Well, these two ladies were playing matchmaker, and they really had no business doing that. And they matched me with this lady's daughter. And she kept saying, well, if it's God, just do it. If it's God, just do it. If it's God, just do it. So we wound up getting married in the pastor's office at 19 years old. And I gotta tell you, it was 6 months of a bad year. It was the worst time of my life. We were actually technically only together for 38 days. The rest of the time, she went back home to her other boyfriend. One day, I came back from Mighty Horn because I worked for Phil. I came back from Mighty Horn, and her dad's pickup was outside, and I could see him wheeling the washer and dryer out. Somebody else was there. I think it was her boyfriend. They were carrying the furniture out. And I went back to the ministry, and I told Phil, we were in town, and he actually had hired her to work for him. And because she did book work for her father when he was coordinating the building of the World's Fair in Knoxville. There's a lot going on. And a lot of stuff with Jake Butcher. If anybody remembers, he ran for governor once. And he was a crook. And I got mixed up in that. And it was not good. Got married in the pastor's office. Tennessee didn't have an annulment. If it did, I would have been annulled and been free. But instead, I had a good attorney and a judge that knew who I was, who I worked for, and said, "This is a stupid law. We can't do this, especially in your situation." And I remember going in the judge's chamber, and he was a big man. When I say big, his britches were probably as wide as this bench here. And he looked up from his desk with his glasses. "You learn your lesson, son?" "Yes, sir." And the attorney had told me when I walked in, he said, "Just say yes, sir." And I did. "Did you learn your lesson, son?" "Yes, sir." "You ain't going to do that again, are you?" "No, sir." "Thank God you didn't have kids. Go on and live a good life." And what he did was basically wipe it off my record as if it never happened. So for years, I would only bring this story up in counseling to people because it was something I could use to talk to people who were broken and hurt. And again, how many of y'all, again, been in that situation? You know, you need a pastor that loves you. I'll tell you the truth. God's got something better for you. You know, if it hadn't been for Phil and the man by the name of Dean Hudson, who owned Camaro Carpets in Dalton, Georgia, Dean booked all the our meetings. Dean wrote me out a check, paid my rent out of duplex, Phil gave me enough money, I go buy new furniture. Matthew may have remembered, Mom came down with my aunt. My aunt bought a whole brand new set of pots and pans that we used up until not too long ago. We got rid of them finally. I think Thomas or one of the boys has them now. They didn't know that. But they took care of me. And I'll never forget what Phil told me. He said, "James," he says, "I hired you because I know you have a call of God on your life. And God's not finished with that call. He's got bigger plans for you. And what's happened will never be a crutch for you. But it'll be something that you can talk about and talk about how God delivered you and fixed you and put you back on the right path." And the part I didn't tell you last Sunday, for a year after that, I wasn't right. I wasn't. Yeah, I was in ministry, and I was serving my boss and blowing spit out of his trumpet, loading the airplane up, hopping in it, flying second chair at times if it was just him, and he needed somebody to help him stay awake after doing the concert because he wanted to get back home to be with his family. I flew enough time with my dad. I knew how to operate the autopilot, and I knew how to keep it level. And I knew when we saw the car lights at Hardwick Field in Cleveland, Tennessee, I would nudge him and wake him up. And he goes, "Are we there?" I go, "Yep." And as the 180, we would always turn around and hit the runway. No problem. That was my life. But for that year after that happened to me, I was broken. I mean broken. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. This is the part I didn't tell you. And I mean looking for love in all the wrong places. And it was bad. And I remember David Kaufman. Remember, some of you have been here long enough. Remember we had Dave Kaufman come as Phil's cousin? Man, Dave took me aside and loved on me. He was a former Foursquare pastor. And he really talked to me. He says, you got to get past the hurt. The hurt will destroy you. Phil told you God's not done with you, but you're going to make yourself done if you don't stop. So I had to grow up. Everybody say, grow up. You know, some people wear their hurt around like a ball and chain. Won't make any decisions, won't do anything. God's called you to greater. Are you listening to me? I wouldn't be standing here today if it hadn't been for my boss and Dean Hudson, because those two loved me and believed in me and put me on the path that is. I never forget Eddie King in Knoxville prophesying over Melissa and I when we were moving to Oklahoma. He said, you'll never look for another place to serve again because you've been faithful. And I knew what that meant. Nobody else knew, but I knew. I didn't quit. Too many people quit when God's called you to greater things. Come on, are you here today or are you gone home? Some of you weren't here last Sunday, so you're like, oh my God! But I'm all right. I'm telling you, I am so much better off now. Last Sunday, Melissa went, yeah, you are. But, you know, that's why I've had one person in particular. She comes to our Monday night Bible study. She always makes the joke, I love you, Pastor James, because you walk with a limp. Folks, everybody in here has got a limp. And I'm talking about an emotional one. And you got to learn to know that God's the God of the second chance. See, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And don't you know he obeyed God the second time? Can you imagine when that, and I'm just being honest, can you imagine when that whale threw him up on the beach? He didn't look pretty. He was probably bleached white being in all that stomach acid. Seaweed wrapped around him. He looked like something from a horror movie. And he come walking out. You can imagine fishermen on the beach that saw him. Ah! But boy, he came out of that well preaching because the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I made a mistake. I was wrong. Forgive me. And God said, all right, prove it. And the word came to him again, the second time. We forget about that story. One of the most encouraging truths of all Scripture is that God is the God of the second chance. We all make mistakes. We all have moments when fear and pride and disappointment or sin cause us to miss the mark. Yet our failures never surprise our God. In fact, His love for us has never diminished. Well, that's something you can put a big old grin on your mouth. A big old southern grin. Glory to God. His love is never ending. Amen. That scripture is really encouraging. It was one of the first scriptures I ever heard after I walked out of that judge's chamber. You know, the story of Jonah reminds us of a powerful truth here. God called Jonah to Nineveh, but Jonah ran the opposite direction. Even in Jonah's disobedience, I didn't run the opposite direction, I just did the wrong thing. But even after that disobedience, God pursued Jonah with mercy rather than condemnation. And when Jonah repented, the word of the Lord came to him a what? Come on, say it again. The word of the Lord came to him what? You need to remember that in your life. See, this theme, the second time, is woven all throughout Scripture. Even in Jesus' lineage, part of his lineage was one of them was a prostitute. Did you know that? The word of the Lord came. Amen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God didn't replace Jonah. He didn't abandon his calling or his purpose for him. Instead, God restored him and gave him another opportunity to walk in obedience. All throughout the Bible, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Yet Jesus lovingly restored him and entrusted him with caring for his people. On the day of Pentecost, he preached the greatest message he'd ever preached and shook the world. Amen. What about David? Man, David really messed up. David messed up in so many ways, many times. David experienced devastating failure. But when he humbled himself before God, he found forgiveness and he found restoration. All those stories should remind you and me that God's grace is always sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. Even in your greatest failure, God will pick you back up and put you back on that road to His blessing, to His increase, to His goodness. Because He's never left you and He has never forsaken you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You're not a failure. You're never a failure. You should never allow yesterday's failures to keep you from today's obedience. Can you say amen to that? You should never do that. Why? Because God is a God of what?
Second chances.
Let me tell you about something. Y'all remember the great generals of faith, Catherine Kuhlman?
Yes.
What about Maria Woodworth Eder? What about Amy Semple McPherson? Tremendous women of God. And don't get off on this thing, women can't be preachers. You haven't read the book of Acts. Amen. I think one of the greatest pastors I know is Nancy Dufresne. She had to take the pastorate after her husband's airplane blew up in midair. That church is exploding in California. Our regional director is now the first woman regional director for Rhema. Her husband died from a terrible cancer. But God. Come on. But God. Tammy's doing great work. We love her so much. But all three of those ladies, and you know they're well known. Catherine had her own TV program. All these women preachers, they were divorced, they were criticized, they were misunderstood. Some wore makeup, some endured single motherhood, but all of them survived scandal. And yet they moved the church forward in ways that few have ever done. And today, their fruit remains. Amen. So hear me out this morning. Never water down your gift. Stop trying to be socially acceptable and speak what God gives you to speak. Write what He's called you to write. Create what He's given you to create. And never go to your grave with music in your heart. Because He's not done with you. He's got greater things for you. You know, obedience is more important than approval. That'll make a good t-shirt. Amen. Obedience is more important than approval. Don't apologize for the assignment that God has placed on your life. Don't spend your life second-guessing what heaven has already confirmed. He confirmed it on me, didn't He? Absolutely. We've had some of the best days of our life. We're coming up on how many years? Help me out. It's been 38, so next year we start the 39th year. Yeah. I've always been a one-woman man. And faithful. Because that's what you're supposed to be. I can't tell you how heartbroken I was. See, our parents were divorced when I was 12. I didn't want to be that. That's why that whole year after that, that was rough. So I've been where you're at. Many of you have walked the road, but God. When I told Barry, I said, you're not going to quit. You quit, I'll get on a plane and come over there and beat you like a government mule. You can't quit. There's a call in your life. You can't give up. You got to keep moving forward. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You know, I come across a story the other day when I was working on this, and I shared it with you last week a little bit, but I asked you the question last Sunday, how many of you have dogs? Anybody have a dog? Good for you. Got dogs? I got cats. I like my cat. My cat does tricks, can jump up in the air and do flips. Catch bracelets. These bracelets we got, she likes to catch them in her mouth. She's good at it. But you got a dog, you know, and a dog like bones, right?
Yeah.
Or do they? To be honest with you, science has proven that dogs don't like bones. They settle for bones. Dogs like meat. And lots of it. Bacon, 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 bacon. Dogs settle for bones. Dogs don't love bones. Dogs love steak. They settle for bones. That ought to be a wake-up call for you and me. So many of you in your life, you're settling when God's called you to greater things. Because our God is the God of the what?
Second chance.
Aren't you thankful He's the God of the second chance? I love Elizabeth. She's like our daughter. When her daddy died, my heart broke for her. And praise God, we've been close ever since. But praise God, God's the God of the second chance. Amen. And you know, He's not done with you either. Good things. Faithfulness always pays. Amen. Faithfulness pays. But that statement ought to be a wake-up call. The more I thought about it, the more it made me realize that we as Christians, we settle for things in our faith journey when God has prepared a lavish fillet for us to enjoy. Amen. All of you as believers are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ Jesus. In fact, Romans 8:17 tells us that. But here's the catch. If you're an heir of your parents, you don't want to wait for your inheritance until you die. You receive it when they pass away. So why do we often wait around till we die to go to heaven before we claim what God has called us to do in our lives? We spin our wheels and we have the wrong spirit, like I'm not good enough. We let our insecurities rule us. We let our hurts devastate us. When God's called you to greater things, He's called you to do greater things, greater works. In fact, Jesus told us, you'll do greater works than I have. But yet so much of the time, we as believers will settle for seconds when God's got a steak dinner for you. The truth is, you received your inheritance when Jesus died on the cross. We don't have to settle for less than God's best. We've been granted the privilege to live in the fullness of God's grace and blessings right now. Everybody shout, right now.
Right.
Amen. It's time to stop settling for just bones. And let your faith step out and savor the divine fillet that, I'm just using that as an example, but the fillet that God's got for you. The one you can cut with a fork. That's how I like to make them. Y'all had my steaks. You can cut it with a fork when it's done just right. Amen. Yeah, some of you are already saying, yeah, good. Yeah, because Jesus is good. Amen. So, what does it mean to embrace God's best for our lives? I'm going to give you two scriptures. I'm going to pray for you. We'll get out of here. Deuteronomy 1:6, and it's in your handout. But the Lord spoke to us here to Horeb. He says, the Lord spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this place. And I'm putting this to you today. If you got hurts in your life, it's time to seal that suitcase and put it in lost and found. If you're dealing with brokenness, it's time to close that trunk and go throw it into the off the pier. And let it sink with chains wrapped around it and concrete cinder blocks. Because He's delivered you. His blood was shed. Isaiah 54 talks about Jesus delivered you from your hurts It prophesies that. Your emotional torment, any kind of baggage you think you have, Jesus has kicked the devil in the teeth over that. That's why I'm going to preach about born to raise hell next Sunday. You need to be bold about this. He's got greater for you. Say, he's got greater. You've dwelt long enough with this junk. It's time to be free from it.
Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy 1:7 states, turn you and take your journey. I like that. And I say it Pastor James style. You ready? Turn yourself around and pull your britches up. It's time for you to take your run. Amen. It's time for you to pull your pants up and be somebody. If you need suspenders because you lost so much weight from being hurt, then get some suspenders. But pull your britches up and be somebody. Be who God's called you to be. Quit waiting around for, well, I'm just waiting for something to happen. Too many people wait. God's already moved. All the Holy Ghost has been poured out that's going to be poured out. You're supposed to act by faith and start laughing. You're supposed to act in faith and start running. You're supposed to act in faith and start dancing. You're supposed to act in faith. That's how you got born again. That's how you got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how you receive your healing. But we disconnect from that. We beg God for something he's already given. It's time for you to pull your britches up and get on the road to success that he's called you to. Because your God, my God, is a God of second chances. Some of you may, you know, sit around, you know, you lost your wife or you lost your husband through death. I get it. I get it. But God's not done with you.
Amen.
Am I right, Chris? God's taking you to a whole nother level. Because you chose. And it wasn't easy. God's got bigger and better for you. Amen. Folks, God's called you to take action on all of your tomorrows. Don't sit around and twiddle your thumbs and say, well, you know, it'll be so much better when I get to heaven. Listen, he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness right here and now.
Amen.
Don't waste it. He's got more. Say, he's got more. Amen. That's why when I was out mowing the grass last Friday, and I had that song come to me, I said, Lord, I need another line. And I'm just mowing, and I'm thinking about that groove and mowing the grass. And all I could think about, I got his power, his fire, and his ability. I am happy, happy, happy all the time. You got more to be happy about than you got to be sad about. If you sit around in the mullygubs all day, you'll ruin your day and everybody else around you. I mean, I ask you right now, are you fun to be with?
Yes.
Huh? You better. Are you fun to be with? And people are like, oh my God, here they come. Oh. You need to feel like you need counseling after you dumped on them? Or they dumped on you, I should say. Jesus has got better for you. Don't waste it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Say that line up there on the screen with me. God, say it. God has called me to take action for all of my tomorrows. Say it like that again. God has called me to take action on all of my tomorrows. Say this. My God has better for me. I'm ready to go ahead and sit down at the table and have my steak dinner. Amen?
Amen?
All right, close your eyes. Stand up on your feet, though. Stand up on your feet. Close your eyes. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we just thank you right now. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. You're the God who delivers us, sets us free, changes our lives, makes us better. Even when we've been broken and hurt and we felt like the world is over, woo! You got more. You got better. You got more. Oh, we don't have to settle for dry bones and gnaw on. No. You've given us a full spread table everything imaginable on it. All the desserts we can have. All the richness of your grace and blessings. Because you love us so much. In spite of us, you loved us first. Thank God for your grace. Lord, I just thank you for your grace. Even though what I went through, Lord, was so small in comparison, I'm so thankful for your grace and your goodness. And I am so thankful that I did not forsake your call. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're in here today and there's brokenness in your life, I'm not going to embarrass you and have you come up front, because I think all of us have been through things. All of us could say, you know, the doctor cut me from my belly button all the way around to my rear. I like a mud flap on a Mack truck. Everybody in here can say that. We've all been broken. We've all been hurt. We've all suffered loss. But I want you to know, while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, hear my voice. Jesus is standing in front of you right now. And he's holding his arms out. And he's looking you eye to eye. And he's saying this: I love you. And no matter what's happened, I want you to know I've got better in store for you. Yesterday is all yesterday is. What I have for you tomorrow is beyond anything you've ever asked or thought. Because I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Stop settling. Stop trying to take a bath in all your heartache. Let it go. Grab me by the hand and let's run. Because your best days are just before you, says the Lord. Now, if that's you in here today, I'm not calling you up front. Like I said, I promise you. But if that's you, probably all of us in here could do this. Just raise a hand towards heaven and thank him. That today is the best day of your life. Today you lay all the hurt down. You lay all the brokenness down. You're laying all your insecurities down. You're going to lay all of that down. You're going to quit settling for a bone. And you're going to grab hold of what God's given you. And you're never going to let it go. Because he's got greater for you. Better for you. More happiness for you. More love than you've ever imagined. And he loves you so much. Lord, right now, as we just praise you and magnify you, I thank you that your healing balm of Gilead is just washing all over this congregation right now. Lord, I thank you that the eyes of their understanding have been enlightened today. That you're a healer. You're a healer of brokenness. You're a healer of emptiness. You're a healer. Lord, I just thank you that right now we never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's the best day to do that. You're never too far away. He loves you so much. He wants you free from all your sins. And all you got to do is ask him into your life. In fact, as a church, we're all going to pray with you. And if that's you, if you're here today, if you're watching online, let's all pray together. Say it with me, church. Ask Jesus into your heart today. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. And I believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for me, to shed his blood for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Father God, forgive me of all of my sins. Make me pure and whole. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I am now born again. And I will live for you all of my life. Amen and amen.